Okay, and welcome back. Time to talk to Mitchell Henderson about what's going on in the Ukraine area of the planet. Ukraine itself, of course, up to its eyeballs in intrigue, in lies, and international financing, international crimes, war crimes. It's just disgusting. Zelensky should rightly be called a butcher. He ordered the troops trapped in the ironworks in Mariupol to not surrender under any circumstances and to kill any of their fellow troops who wanted to surrender or tried to surrender. Okay? The Battle of Donbass, as it is now known, is now in full swing. Russia has launched what's being called a hellish all-out assault. In the overnight hours, as Zelensky is calling it, this Battle of Donbass really took off. It's big. We're not getting much information yet, but we're watching it very closely. We'll see. This is going to be, a test of how good the Russian army fights in terms of, well, we could call it quasi-World War II strategy, but we know there are a lot of weapons that are going to be used to disable electronics. Remember 3-4 years ago when that one single Russian, that was an SU-35 maybe, passed around a USS destroyer? I think it was in the Black Sea. And the pilot got close enough to wave to the men on the ship, and apparently he threw a switch, and the entire ship's electronics became utterly inoperable and inactive. The ship just sat there, a floating target. And the plane made a couple of passes around the USS Donald Cook. And then as it was leaving, all the electronics came back on and lesson learned. So there's a lot to this. Remember what we did in the Iraq war? We were using advanced weaponry that turned Iraqi soldiers into what they call just hot jelly. Just completely pulverized them with weaponry. So there's a lot going on out there. Now, the Russians don't want to use some of it because we will be there to record the electronic signatures, and they're concerned we'll be able to figure out how it works. But there will be things going on here that are going to be very telling and perhaps will make the difference maybe very quickly. We will see. Hello, Mitchell, and welcome back.
Hello, Jeff. What you just said was actually very prescient. Okay, I'm going to talk about some of those things tonight.
Oh, very good. Very good.
So yeah. So this is just a situation report on World War III. I want to point out that I see these blurbs in the newspaper. Sometimes they say, oh, World War III is on. Sometimes they say Ukraine could lead to World War III. Well,
oh, no.
That's how historically out of touch with reality the press is, okay? Because no world war has began on a certain day and a certain time that everybody accepted, okay? It's always had things that led up to it.
Are you guys ready over there? We're ready here. Okay, let's start.
Yeah, it doesn't quite happen that way. So anyways, sometimes it is the little things that lead to the gravest circumstances. Let me set this up for you. Reading defense industry magazines a year ago, Russia was creating a, quote, conventional warfare nuclear doctrine. This held that instead of a long slugfest to invade a nation, Russia should save its resources by using low-yield tactical weapons on major cities and strong points, instead of just bypassing them and risking rear area battle. Okay, you don't want fighting going on behind you. Okay, so my source in Ukraine stated that the reason why Russian troops were drawing back from Kiev was because they intend to use tactical nukes on Kiev. This week, my source told me that except for Mariupol, Russian troops were pulling back slightly from other cities in the south to keep troops out of the blast range of nuclear weapons in case it was decided to use them.
Very interesting. Yeah.
So these counterattacks that you see, that's just the Russian troops pulling back and Ukrainian troops filling the vacuum, foolishly, I might add. Okay, so the Washington Post wrote on Friday that Russia had sent a formal diplomatic note to Washington in which it warned that the further arming of Ukraine by Washington and the NATO allies could lead to, quote, unpredictable consequences. Russia claims that NATO is violating the UN Small Arms Treaty by pouring weapons into a conflict zone, increasing the overall death toll in an act of inhumanity. Of course, neither Russia nor the USA has signed the treaty, but many NATO nations have signed it and are sending arms to Ukraine in contravention of that treaty.
Got it.
Today, Jen Psaki said that it was an empty threat. Well, we'll see. Also today, Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu gave a speech on new ways of warfare. His speech reiterated some of the themes from a year ago when they had decided to incorporate tactical nuclear weapons into conventional warfare. Okay? So I don't think, you see, I'm tying this together for you, okay? But I don't think there's anybody in Washington, D.C. that can put this together in their head and figure out what's going on, okay? It'll all come as a surprise.
It's that bad there, Mitch? That's pretty bad.
It's that bad. They wouldn't have a clue.
So the Pentagram under Lloyd Austin, really one of the most incompetent secretaries of defense that probably we've had in our lifetimes, if not the most incompetent, he doesn't have a clue. He's not a leader. This is not a battle-hardened strategist.
The only statement he has made since this war in the past week, the only statement Lloyd Austin has made is that they are going to reach their goal of 50% of our infantrymen being women as soon as possible.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Let's kill off the rest of the reproductive portion of humanity. We're doing it with the shots enough now. Let's go ahead and meet them on the battlefield and shred them. Oh, yeah. Real good.
So, however, my source has spoken to some Russian officers who say that they think if the U.S. does not stop sending military supplies to Ukraine, that Russia will make a full nuclear attack on the United States. Our government is indifferent to not just the will of the American people, but is indifferent to the very lives of its subjects. Now, keep in mind, these are officers on the ground that he's talking to. They don't know what Putin and Shoigu are going to actually authorize, okay? So what are these unpredictable consequences that Russia warned against? For Russia, these consequences must be harsh to have the desired effect. The effect must support the resolution of the problem. Russia has two immediate problems: NATO interference on Ukraine's behalf and the prospect that Finland is going to join NATO on June 19th. My source in Ukraine said that if we continue to deliver arms to Ukraine, Russia will nuke Kiev, Dnipro, Mykolaiv, and Lviv at a minimum. So that's four warheads. The benefits of doing this would be that NATO, which is brainwashed into thinking nuclear war is unwinnable, might start taking Russia seriously. Since Western media has criticized the Russian army for being weak and said that Russia will not win, they are unthinkingly creating the narrative of why Russia would use nukes in Ukraine. Russia needs not make any explanations because our press is making it for them. Okay. This may also have an effect on Finland. If the Russians nuke Kiev, Finland may have second thoughts about joining NATO, as that will mean national suicide. The way Russian commanders on the ground see this is that it is a plus in many respects. Fighting in cities is costly. They have taken Mariupol by ground forces because it was within Donetsk province. They were liberating that city, but the rest are mere obstacles. Speaking of Mariupol, a British soldier, Aydin Aslan, surrendered to the Russians with the Ukrainian Marines last week. He said, and I quote, "The situation in Mariupol is catastrophic. It could have been avoided should Ukraine have left, but they chose to stay." Zelensky insisted.
He ordered them. He's a butcher.
Yes.
He butchers his own people. There was no reason for that sacrifice. None. None.
The battle opened his eyes to the Ukrainian military and their lack of care for civilians. The Ukrainian soldiers looted supermarkets when civilians needed food to survive in the encircled city. They would stop civilians from going out to get water. They are criminals, not soldiers. This is his words, okay? But my source said that weeks ago, okay? What is shaping up now is not a frontal attack on the Ukrainian positions dug in for 8 years in the Donbass. They intend to surround the entrenched areas, then bombard it and starve it out. If NATO continues to supply arms to Ukraine, they might just use tactical nukes on the dug-in Ukrainian positions if they have to.
They have no choice, Mitch. Mitch, excuse me.
Yeah, well, they're too
Putin
weak,
has no.
So they have to. Yeah.
Putin has no choice. He should thermobaric that whole line, 40 to 60,000. I don't know how many Ukrainians are there, troops. He should thermobaric it and use tactical.
44,000.
Whatever. He needs to. He's got to take the gloves off. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what they're doing.
So the troops are in a position to trap the Ukrainian army in the Donbass pocket. Since no one has used nukes in war since 1945, Russia wants to make it a normal part of normal war. He's not alone. Other countries want to do that, too. A lot of countries are sick and tired of being bullied by the United States and NATO. So consider this. Why would Russia not use its strongest hand? The advantage that Russia has over the USA and NATO is nuclear weapons, both technologically and numerically. Why would Russia fight with its strong right arm tied behind its back?
Sure.
This is an unpredictable consequence, okay? So Russia, China, and North Korea do not buy into the Zionist Herman Kahn's weak-willed narrative of mutually assured destruction, or MAD. The West does so to the point of thinking it is an article of faith. The West has not realized that it is an existential threat to humanity, and nuclear war is the cure. Sodom and Gomorrah need to be destroyed by pillars of fire. This is the way that the people in Russia see things, okay? So, next, my report from Russia. Please keep in mind that I'm reporting what my source says, not what I think, okay? So my source in Russia says the same about low-yield nuclear weapons being used on Ukraine, a nation that they are at war with. However, they are taking no chances. This has never been done before, so they do not know how the world would react. Just in case NATO is fully targeted, and it will only take seconds for them to launch if they detect any kind of an attack on their territory. That's any kind. It doesn't have to be a nuclear attack. It could be just a single troop crossing the border. Okay, Russia is done with the evil empire and will play to its own strengths. They have already moved anti-aircraft and missiles to the Finnish border. They have already deployed tactical nuclear missiles on the border area of Finland. Russia absolutely will not fight NATO conventionally. A war with NATO will only be a nuclear war, period. There is no other kind of war it will be.
I completely concur, Mitch, your source. I completely concur with your source. I've said the same thing to other people. There's no other way to approach a war with NATO. None. And NATO knows this. They know. This is all being done with intent.
It's just that the people, the politicians don't know. Maybe later I can shed a little bit of light on that. So each ICBM can carry about 16 active warheads and 40 decoys. The nuclear weapon that they set off in the high atmosphere will cause an EMP, which they will be ready for. This is, their anti-ICBM systems. The reason for this is that hitting the 450 missile silos would create too much fallout that will spread by prevailing winds to Russia. However, there is a trade-off because most of the radioactive detritus from the destroyed ICBMs will land in the Arctic Ocean and probably destroy all the sea life there. It will be a bitter sea. Think Chernobyl, which means wormwood. Okay? So they have a missile, anti-missile system that when our ICBMs are coming in, we don't have a system like this, but they do. They send up a high-yield nuclear weapon into the path of the oncoming missiles and detonate it to destroy those missiles and knock them off course or whatever they have to do.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now, there's another angle of this, and I can't confirm it, but I've heard that there are prepositioned 20 megaton, perhaps, thermonuclear bombs in international waters all up and down the East Coast, the Gulf Coast, and the West Coast of the U.S. They're planning to fight, this is the rationale, a water, quote, water nuclear war by using the ocean and up to 2,000-foot-tall tidal waves to go into all major urban areas and cities. 40% of America lives within something like 5 miles of the shore. Some huge amount.
Right. And they're going to use that. Nuclear submarines.
I'm getting there next. Yes, of course.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
They're getting there. They've already got their prepositioned nukes. They're going to bring over the Poseidon torpedo with a 20 megaton warhead has a range of 5,000 miles.
Yes.
And at 130 miles an hour approximately, 110 miles an hour at 3,000 feet depth. No one's going to intercept those. And they're going to do the same thing. They'll light them off right offshore. Another huge tsunami from a torpedo. And then they have their ICBM submarines. The big ones have 18 Bulava missiles, Bulava ICBMs, the Bulava. And each one has 10 different bombs in its MIRVed warhead. That's 18 times 10. That's 180 more thermonuclear bombs ready for destinations all over the U.S. That's one submarine. And we don't know how many they have on station. Go ahead.
The Poseidon missiles are 100 megatons. Okay, not 20.
They've raised the punch. That's extraordinary.
Yes.
I do know they're clad with cobalt-59, which mm-hmm. turns to cobalt-60 on detonation.
Yes.
That cobalt-60 is the deadliest thing known to mankind. It's got a half-life, though, of five years, which means in about 10 or 15 years, the country will be occupiable again in the contaminated areas. But if they use that, I didn't know it had 100 megaton. Wow. Wow.
Yes, 100 megaton.
This is bad news.
That's what brings the 2,000-foot wave up from the,
gotcha.
The sea.
I thought the 20 did, but this is a shocker. That's even more outrageous. And they will use that. And the reason they'll use that is that they don't want ground burst, because it'll throw too much dirt and debris up into the sky and create a nuclear winter for maybe 10 years. They don't want that. If they let the water do the work, they don't have dirty skies. Of course, our retaliation, such as wimpy as it will be, will create somewhat of a nuclear winter, because it will launch, I'll bet, no more than half of our ICBMs make it to Russia. I think they've got the tech to knock a lot of them down. Plus, Obama disarmed our entire ICBM force from having MIRVed warheads. Each rocket has only one bomb on the top of it. One. So he reduced us by 90%, Obama did. Communist. Why am I not surprised? Go ahead, Mitchell. This is very important stuff.
Keep in mind, if you blow up a nuke, so if we send this nuclear weapon up to blow up our incoming nukes, don't make the mistake of thinking that will detonate those nukes. Those nukes will just be blown apart. They're not going to detonate, okay? If you put a bomb on a nuke, you just blow the nuke up. It doesn't create a nuclear explosion, okay? Because the way that it implodes and stuff has to be just perfect, okay, to get a chain reaction going. So the reason for this is that hitting the 450 missile silos would create too much fallout and will spread by prevailing winds. Okay, I already said that. So when Russia invades Finland, they will launch tactical nukes ahead of their columns. They have 50 tactical nukes ready that will destroy every major city in Finland. They want Finland, and saving a single Finnish life is not worth the blood of a single Russian soldier. Finland without the Finns is acceptable and even desirable outcome. Russia detests woke people. They're satanic people, devil worshippers, as far as Russia is concerned.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the Russian Defense Ministry hopes The Russian Defense Ministry hopes that the nuclear attack on Kiev will be enough to convince Finland to remain neutral. Sweden has already voiced its hesitation about joining NATO. When they see what happens to Finland, they are expected to cave in and stay neutral. In other words, all this must transpire before June 21st, okay? Before June 19th. There are only 5 million people in Finland and 10 million people in Sweden. Remember, this must happen before June 19th. If it turns into a full-scale nuclear war with NATO, Russia will only take Finland, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. The rest of Europe will be a hellish wasteland, and they have no intentions of occupying it. My source says, how ironic. The leadership of Europe will cause the death of 90% of their people, and Russia has no intention of invading or occupying them. Okay?
Wow.
So there has been talk in the Russian Duma about taking Alaska, the Yukon, the Canadian Northwest Territories, Greenland, Iceland, and northern Norway in order to prevent future friction over the Arctic Ocean. But this is politicians talking, not the Ministry of Defense.
Well,
the consensus in Russia is... Oh, go ahead.
I don't know what we define Zelensky the butcher as, but he is... You talk about evil, that's evil. And hold on just a minute, Mitch. I'll take a break and come right back and continue. This is Top Notch, ladies and gentlemen. Mitch has sources. They're good. Real good. 24 karat gold. Be right back. Okay, welcome back. Just to bring you up to date real quick, the major battle for liberating Donbass from the butcher Zelensky and all of his Bolshevik Zionist henchmen. And who do you think's behind this? You know who's behind this. International Zionism. Same old people. Same old thing. Yes, I know about the Freemasons. I get all that. I understand about the Kabbalists, too. Whatever you want to call them, I don't care. They're not all Jews. That's not the point. The point is, these people have a different agenda than life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay? Let's not forget that. Go ahead.
Okay, so my source said is, as far as Biden being hailed as the one who united and invigorated NATO, this is a fiction our media has made up. They ask why people cannot see with their own eyes that this is untrue. Poland and Hungary hate each other. Greece and Turkey hate each other. Spain has just decided to stop supplying France with electricity. Spain is France's major foreign supplier of electricity. The former French ambassador to the U.S. and U.N., Gerard Araud, said that the double standards of the West is likely turning some countries off supporting Washington's position on Russia. While Europe is following America's lead on Russia, it will not do the same with regard to China. He said, I'm quite aware that, after all, invading Ukraine is no more scandalous than the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003. This is a good example of double standards. So there are already riots in Europe over high gas prices. If Russia broke diplomatic relations and stopped all fuel into Europe, the Europeans would tear themselves apart. They think that there could be a civil war in America, but they have such a low opinion of Americans as spineless that they don't believe we would ever stand up for our freedom and would go like sheep to the slaughter. They are not afraid of us in any way. We are a nation that has lost its mind and soul. They believe that America is Sodom and Gomorrah and that God will help them exterminate us because our moral decadence, and that we intend to indoctrinate our smallest children into living a sodomite lifestyle. They know that they have the moral advantage in this war. Now, this is their opinion, okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let me go on with China, okay? My China expert has not had much to say until this week. This is a U.S. intelligence expert on China. Okay, first, peace is breaking out in South Asia. China and Pakistan want to make peace in India with India because they are forming a worldwide alliance against the United States and Europe. Anthony Blinken has ordered Black Lives Matter and gay flags at all our consulates and embassies. They hear our news. They hear America talk about how evil white people are and how they need to be exterminated. They talk about all of the sins of white people and the evil they have done to people of color. In fact, the pedophile Marxist Biden regime that has given the world a reason to hate America, Canada, and Europe. The USA has been propagandizing the world against us. Okay, so he said China is flying weapons into Serbia and have expressed to the Serbs that they should take Kosovo back. While Ukraine is eating up NATO military logistics, it's not occupied NATO troops. If Serbia would invade Kosovo to take it back, it would be legal, just like China taking back Taiwan. If Serbia would attack Kosovo, there are 5,000 NATO troops there, and they would be in a fight with some NATO nations. Not all, but some. It would further divide NATO, and it would pull troops from Asia. In return, China will invade Taiwan and pull Western forces from Europe. Serbian Premier Vukovic just won re-election, but voted against Russia being in the Human Rights Council. When the Serbian people found out, they rioted. They did not elect him to suck up to the West. He knows he must take a side and stick with it. He made a big mistake by doing that. If China does not act against Taiwan, the Communist Party will fall. They will lose the mandate of heaven. They will lose their opportunity to take Taiwan for at least another century. Chairman Xi's prestige will quickly fade. He knows this. China is learning from what is going on now, but there will be pressure to do more than just learn. Action must happen. My source is loath to predict a day, but from the chatter, he has surmised that Russia may nuke Kiev on Easter, the Russian Orthodox Easter, which is April 24th. Their Easter is a week later than ours.
You know, I might suggest something else, that we could reverse that. We could do the flip side and assume that Kiev has one or two, at least, tactical nukes from NATO, and they may try and use them on the Donbass on that very day. This thing is crazy. I'm just telling you. You know it better than I do. There's no way to handicap this. This is a horse race. This is a hard horse race to deal with. Go ahead.
The reason he thinks it'll be on April 24th is Taiwan Strait weather on that day has light winds all day, no rain, heavy cloud cover up till 2 p.m., giving them cover to cross the strait, then sunny after 2 p.m. They will need clear cloud skies for the landing and to give air support to the troops. And they're thinking the invasion of Taiwan will leave the coast of China at 5 a.m., and the Chinese air attacks on Taiwan will have to begin at that time. It will be 10 a.m. in Kiev. A daylight nuke is more effective and will do more damage in daylight rather than at night. That's because the thermal blast is an important component of what causes damage in a nuclear explosion. If Russia nukes Kiev at that time, NATO will be stunned before the Chinese hit the beach at 2 p.m. local time. Serbia would be able to launch its attack on Kosovo that morning, and NATO will be in a crisis by the time they meet any substantive resistance. Military intelligence thinks this would be the perfect day. Okay. So North Korea is ready to go also. They will nuke
Okay,
South
that's
Korea
the 20. That's the 20.
Line.
Hold on, Mitch. Hold on. That's the 24th of this month.
Right. Next Sunday.
It sounds like a perfect day, doesn't it? You're right.
It does.
You that's been laid out. Wow. All right, well, let's have some more fun. Let's bring in Kim in North Korea with her new ICBM. Go ahead.
Right, they're ready to roll over the South, and they really don't care if the South Korean people survive or not, okay? They don't want to have to deal with them. So they want the territory, but not necessarily the people. So North Korea is already starting to impose red lines on South Korea, okay? They're getting ready for war. This is a salient issue, but if you pit a cold, uncaring fighter against a humane and caring fighter, who's going to win? Those cold, uncaring fighters will win.
Okay? Yeah, they'll go right into Seoul and level it if they have to.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll love it before they even go in there. Okay, right. They don't care about the city. So, that leaves me with one other thing that I want to talk about, and that's the propaganda situation, because propaganda is used to change people's perceptions of things. How well does it work? So in 2017, the Arizona Republic actually published a letter from a reader stating that 50% of everybody on commercials were black, and it was an insulting example of social engineering. This resulted in research that found that people of color, LGBT people, and feminists, defined as they are portrayed as smarter and as more reasonable than men, are represented more than white people in advertising, Hollywood movies, streaming, news media, and especially music. So many research papers followed looking at this, looking as if this affected people's perceptions. The methodology used was to interview people in urban areas where they spend more time watching or listening to all forms of media. The answers are the average percentage of what people perceive. So half are lower and half are higher than the reported number. I will break down the results and match them with 2020 census figures. Okay, so in the 2020 census, white non-Hispanic people made up 57.6% of the people. The perceived percentage on the survey they did was white people only make up 21% of the people in the United States. Hispanic actually make up 18.7% of the population, but they're perceived to only take up 9% of the population. The perception of black people, they make up only 12.1% of the population, but the perception is that they make up 48% of the population. Asian people make up 6% of the population. They're perceived as taking up 12%. Native Americans take up 1%. They're perceived as taking up 3% of the population. Pacific Islanders take up 0.1%, but they are perceived as taking up, making up 4% of the population. So the public perception of race is very drastically skewed by media, and this is what people actually think. Okay? My second source is the leftist opinion piece published last Wednesday by Leonard Pitts called, quote, "Americans have lost ability to share a national identity." He says that we no longer share a narrative and we no longer have a common thread. Pitts is a black cultural Marxist, so he is lamenting how Republicans have created the division that led us to the loss of national identity. Note to Mr. Pitts from Earth. It is Democrats' identity politics that created the divide. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime has made it clear that whiteness is an incurable disease, and doing things like purging the military of white people, as well as laying off millions of white people under the aegis of mandatory vaccines, is what's creating the problem. The poll findings was, what media do Americans trust? 20% trust PBS. The Washington Post is trusted by 16%, CNN by 11%. When broken down by political affiliations, Republicans trust almost nothing. Even Democrats trust Fox News over the others. Republicans barely trust Fox News. But Fox News gets a 53% rating, and that's mostly Democrats watching it. Pitch continues. Americans no longer proceed from the same baseline assumptions, are no longer driven by the same national aspirations, no longer understand the meaning and mission of their country in the same way. He suggests that media literacy classes for school kids so they can learn to think the same. In other words, to indoctrinate them into cultural Marxists and turn them all into LGBT people. My point here is that the media so blatantly lies that you would have to be an idiot to believe them. We suffered through all the lies and contradictions of the pre-planned and man-made COVID pandemic. We suffered through their obvious lies to cover up their failure in Afghanistan. Now we are suffering through their obvious lies about Ukraine. A CBS News poll asked who would support war with Russia. 75% of Americans said no, they would not support it. But we do not live in a democracy, so they don't care what you think. Our government is the greatest threat to the American people. Even before Ukraine, they were destroying our economy and the middle class. We now have an 8.5% inflation, which if we use the 1980 definition of inflation, means that we are already at 17% inflation. They are obstructing supply chains and preventing agriculture and fuel extraction expansion. Fred Smith, the founder of FedEx, said yesterday, had we passed the Build Back Better bill that Biden wanted, my guess is we would be Weimar Germany right now. Okay?
Wow.
So that means very high inflation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They actively blame this on Russia, but Russia is not capable of imposing the economic hardships on us that the pedophile Marxist Biden regime does. The psychological conditioning that we suffer through all our lives takes a lot of effort to overcome. So let me just bring up this point. In 1984, I was a policeman in Tampa, Florida, and so in the first year I was just a patrol officer. But after that, I worked plainclothes, and I had to go out and live amongst the criminals on the street. So one of the things that you have to do when you do that, it's just going to happen to you. You're going to get a sense about people. Like when you walk up to somebody, you're going to have them figured out. You're going to figure out that they're evil, that they'll do anything wrong that's possible. Okay. So,
Mitch, let me say this about that. You were a good cop. You were a good cop. Imagine that power in the hands of a psychologically imbalanced cop. You got problems.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think so.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I think we have problems now anyway because most cops are politically correct and woke now.
If
you're still a policeman now, you are the bad guy, okay? If you're in the U.S. military now, you are the bad guy, okay? So anyways, what happened is since I did work plainclothes and worked on the street, when the Secret Service comes to town to protect a candidate, they like to take from the vice guys, the plainclothes vice guys, because they're the most street smart people in the city, okay? So in the 84 campaign, I was working with the Secret Service protecting Ronald Reagan, Nancy Reagan, George and Barbara Bush, Jesse Jackson, Gary Hart, and Walter Mondale, okay? So this was my sense then, okay? Of course, I couldn't really say anything about it at the time. But Ronald Reagan, when I met him, I actually felt like he was kind of a normal human being, okay?
That he cared for people. Reagan, and I spent time with him, and I thought he was a kind of a regular guy. And he really liked UFOs, and he seemed like
controlled. So. He was very personable guy. Yeah. Now, Nancy was she gave me bad vibes, okay? But Ronald himself, Ronald Reagan, he gave me really good vibes. He seemed like a decent human being. All of the other candidates, I assure you, they were wolves. They were wolves. They were so evil that the only thing these people thought of was power. They just wanted power. That's all, okay? They didn't care about people. They didn't have any empathy. They were cold. They were, you know, they were just, you could just feel the evil eking out of them. So I want people to know this because your leaders are these kind of people. They're all kind of people, okay? They're not like you. They're evil people, maybe in some cases even satanic people, okay? The things you hear about them don't scot them off as just being some conspiracy theory, you know, about, like, drinking baby's blood and stuff like that. No. These people are genuinely evil people. They're wolves. They will destroy you, tear you to shreds if you get in the way of their power. Okay.
Yes,
and,
sir.
This is just the way that it is. Okay. You know, I can't say anything about Trump because I never met him. I wanted him to be president again for this time, so we wouldn't be in the situation we're in right now. He would have probably, this wouldn't be happening under Trump. You know, none of it. He wouldn't have destroyed our economy. He wouldn't have caused inflation. He would not hurt the American people. Okay. That's not what he was about. Okay. He already had wealth and power. He didn't need to get it from us, you know. So, you know, it's just that this is, you know, think of the stupidity of equity in the army. It's like, why would we want 50% of our infantry troops to be female? Why would we want that? You know?
Well, it's because we don't want to have a military any longer. I mean, somebody doesn't. It's obvious.
Yeah, obviously. It's like when I went to officer candidate school, we had a few women in the class because it was gender neutral officer candidate. Everybody goes to the same officer candidate school, regardless right. of what your job's going to be. But officer candidate school is really teaching you to be basically an infantry officer. Okay. So that meant that we when we went out in the woods and stuff, we had to carry an M60 light machine gun, which the light word is misleading because it's really a heavy gun. Okay, well, none of the females were required to carry the M60 light machine gun. The guys had to hunt it the whole time, so we didn't even get the break of them carrying it for at least a while. Okay. So there was a very different standard for them than there was for us. Okay. And, you know, you could just go on YouTube and look at videos where these female, UFC boxers, claim, oh, I can take on a guy, and then bring the wimpiest guy out. Like, yeah, and he beats her butt.
It's true.
It's the victory over what people wish for over reality. Okay.
Well, a lot of people are just flat out not happy with who or what they are, and they're yearning to be something else. And a lot of it is celebrity, and that's crazy. That's no way to build a society. We've lost so much. You know when the big takedown became obvious? George Herbert Walker Bush and his famous pronouncement of the New World Order. Okay, we saw that. But the Clintons, and what the Clintons did by, first of all, deregulating the media so these big corporations could go into every town, every city, every community and buy up virtually all the stations, all the newspapers, magazines, radio, TV, didn't matter. That was the beginning of the end, the obvious, overt beginning of the end, when they took away the last vestige of free and independent press. That was it.
I think there's only four people that own all the press in America. Four different people.
Maybe there are four owners of those six corporations. Maybe BlackRock walked in and bought them all.
It was talking about four people owned all the newspapers in the United States, and that this was back then during the Clinton administration. So the Clinton administration, I can tell you right now that's when in the Army I could see everything going wrong. They were taking military contracts, and those contracts went to Friends of Bill, okay, FOB, Friends of Bill. That was a big thing. They went to them, and they were things that the military did not need, okay? It was all just a thing. He also did away with, he said, okay, well, you got to take the principles of war out because they're too rough, you know. It's going to alienate people. Well, the principles of war, they're the principles of war. That's the way war has been fought for 10,000 years. If you want to win, the principles of war were laid out by J.F.C. Fuller at the end of World War II to tell people what it takes to win a war. Okay? And he took that information from history, from all the battles in history and stuff. What did people do to win? You know, and he distilled that down until like about 10 principles of war. When I became an officer, I had to learn those principles of war. After 1993, when Clinton came in, they kicked that out. That was taken away. No more teaching the principles of war. They didn't want you to know how to fight. Okay. So
well said.
That's where we're at.
All right. we're out of time, but let me get your take on where the war in Donbass is going to go. And what do you think will be employed or deployed by the Russians? How about as much as they might need to get the job done?
Yeah, they'll use as much as they need. You got to remember that all this, since February 24th, actually the troops in Donbass have not been getting resupplied and reinforcements and stuff. They only have enough ammunition and stuff to last a matter of days. Okay, so
that's
without
the Ukrainian
any intervention,
troops. Yeah, right.
They
agreed.
they can just well, you know, those thermobaric missiles, just throw them over there. Okay,
that's right. That's right. Don't be surprised if NATO doesn't step in here. Literally, watch. Just watch.
Well, that's World War III. That's thermonuclear war. If
is.
They do,
that is it. And
yes.
the
Russia
what we
means
mentioned.
Business.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. No, correct. Correct. Good job, Mitch. Thank you very much for that analysis.
Okay. You're very welcome.
Okay.
Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Mitchell Henderson, and outstanding view of many of the key points upon which this is going to turn. We will watch it for you. All right. Back in a minute.